The sermon I have for you this morning, when Brother Greg called me the other day and actually sent me a text and asked if I could fill in for him, I had to think about it and pray on it, and going through some things of my own. But God laid on my heart a message. So I texted him back and said, yes, I would love to do that. The message is actually from many, many, many years ago, probably when Brother Dorr was going on vacation over Christmas and New Year's. And the message is entitled, instead of we do New Year's resolutions, it's entitled A New Year's Repentance. And you may be thinking, well, what does that have to do with right now in September? Well, if you are Jewish or no Jewish background, it has a lot to do with September because they just celebrated New Year. It's called the Feast of Trumpets or Rosh Hashanah. In Numbers 29:1, it tells us it's to be the first day of the seventh month, and that month is Tishri, which is the month that we are in. And that day started this year at sunset, Friday, September 18th. So that was their new year. So I say, Happy New Year to you. It's the year 5781, if you're following the Jewish calendar. From their New Year day, counting 10 days to the 10th day, this is a period that they call the 10 days of awe. And it ends on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And during these 10 days, even now, today, they take time to pray, to repent, to reflect back on their life. It's a period of introspection. It's a period of repentance. Do a lot of charity. They try to make amends for things that they have done wrong. These are called from the Jewish New Year, Rosh Hashanah, to Yom Kippur, the high, high holy days. Leviticus 16 29 says this, and this shall be a permanent statute for you. In the seventh month, on the 10th day of the month, you shall humble your souls and do not any work, whether the native or the alien who sojourns among you, for it is on this day that atonement shall be made for you to cleanse you. You shall be clean from all of your sins before the Lord. And it is to be a Sabbath of solemn rest for you, that you may humble your souls. It is a permanent statute. So the priest who is anointed and ordained to serve as priest in his father's place shall make atonement. He shall thus put on a linen garments, the holy garments, and make atonement for the holy sanctuary. And he shall make atonement for the tent of meeting and for the altar. And he shall also make atonement for the priests and for all the people of the assembly. Now you shall have this as a permanent statute to make atonement for the sons of Israel for all of their sins once every year. And just as the Lord had commanded Moses, so he did. And then again over in Leviticus 23:27. On exactly the 10th day of this seventh month is the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you, and you shall humble your souls and present as an offering by fire to the Lord. Neither shall you do any work on this day, for it is a Day of Atonement, to make atonement on your behalf before the Lord your God. If there is any person who will not humble himself on this day, he shall be cut off from his people. As for any person who does any work on this same day, that person I will destroy from among his people. You shall do no work at all. It is to be a perpetual statute throughout your generations in all your dwelling places. It is to be a Sabbath of complete rest to you. You shall humble your souls on the ninth of the month at evening, from evening until evening. You shall keep your Sabbath. So these high holy days from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, it's Yom Kippur that we're going to focus on, even though in between those times, they were doing what they ultimately do all day long on Yom Kippur, and that is spending time with God, reflecting and repenting of their sins. On Yom Kippur, it's a strict day of rest. The Jews consider it a day to afflict one's soul. By this they mean they abstain from food and drink. They don't do any washing. They don't wear cosmetics. They don't put on any lotions. They don't wear any leather footwear. I haven't figured that one out yet. They abstain from marital relations. Basically, they go on a 25-hour fast, as in, when I think of fasting, I still drink water. They don't even drink. They drink nothing. 25 hours from sunset to sunset. They've got to fast before the Lord. It is their most important holy day of the Jewish faith. It's a day of repentance, teshuvah, that is their word for repentance. A day of asking forgiveness for the sins for the past year. And as we read, they call it their Sabbath of Sabbaths. It is a very important day. And during the temple period, this was the only day that the high priest was allowed to go into the Holy of Holies. And this is the place where God's presence dwelt above the mercy seat, the Bema, on the Ark of the Covenant. And though they made many sacrifices that day, he would take with him into the Holy of Holies the blood of a lamb, a spotless lamb. And he would sprinkle that blood to atone for the sins of the people. But the most important place that he sprinkled that blood was on the Bema, on the mercy seat, so that God would see that blood and see that as a sacrifice for the sins of all the people. And he did that on behalf of all of Israel. Not only for his own sin, because he had to atone for his own sin, but for the sins of the entire nation. That is what this day was set aside for. And this is literally a picture of what Christ has done for us. But instead of a lamb's blood, he shed his own blood for the atonement of sin. And now he stands at a high priest. If you were coming on Sunday nights when we were doing the study in Hebrew, the writer of Hebrews tells us how Christ is now our high priest, but he lives forever because he already made atonement for our sin. He made the atonement. He shed his blood, and now because he was raised again, he lives forever as a high priest, as our advocate before the Father. He became, big word, propitiation. John uses it. Paul actually uses it as well. It means the satisfaction. He became the satisfaction for the law because the law required us, the Jews, to sacrifice. It required a death for sin. So he satisfied that. He satisfied God's wrath. He satisfied the penalty for our sin. I kind of like to think, I know that we celebrate Christmas on the 25th of December, but if there was, there are some scholars that think that he might have been born more toward August, September, October. And if that's the case, I kind of think perhaps Jesus was born on Yom Kippur. Because that's what it is. He was that lamb whose blood was sprinkled on the Bema seat for our atonement, for my atonement. So I think it's a disservice to the body of Christ, to the church, that we do not teach these things or even remember these high holy days. And here's why. Because they point to Christ. And because they teach us how, not just for 10 days, but how every day we should approach the Lord, how every day we should be spending in repentance, how every day we should be looking for acts of charity, how every day we should be trying to make amends with people that we've hurt or things that we have done wrong, not just for 10 days and then on this one high holy day, but every day. So tonight, at sunset, begins Yom Kippur. I've actually been looking forward to that this year. If you look at my stuff on Facebook, I've befriended some Messianic Jews, and it has opened my eyes even more to what God has done for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I purposed in my heart that this year I would observe Yom Kippur. And so I'm a little weepy with that, because I've been trying to do that all week long, though I did forget about the new year. Thinking ahead of what I'm going to start tonight and then tomorrow night. But I would like for us to take this as a church, and you can take this however you like, but it'll be a time for me, but I think it should be a time for us as believers. Paul says we've been grafted into the cultivated olive tree of Israel, so we are actually Israel. We're part of the Jewish nation, grafted in. So I think that we should take this time. I will take this time to remember the atonement that Christ made on my behalf, on our behalf, to examine our lives, to root out the leaven. What's leaven? Sin. To repent and cry out for forgiveness and for cleansing. We already heard 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's what Yom Kippur is a day of cleansing, because that's what this blood did for the Holy of Holies. It's a cleansing to cleanse Israel of their sin. So if one can, if you can, make the fast tonight at sundown, till tomorrow night at sundown. If you can, physically able, make the fast. And if you can, make it a day of rest. A Sabbath of Sabbaths. So we spend the day repenting, turning from our sin, and asking God for forgiveness. And spend some holy time with the Lord. So how do we do this? What's my example? How does this work? Well, kind of this way. Let's take an example from the Old Testament. If you have your scriptures this morning, turn to Psalm 51. And we're looking at verses 10 through 17. Psalm 51, verses 10 through 17. David cries out, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from thy presence, and do not take thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted to thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O Lord, O God, thou God of my salvation. Then my tongue will joyfully sing of thy righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, that my mouth may declare thy praise. for thou dost not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. Thou art not pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. And so we all know the story of David and Bathsheba. I won't go all the way through that story, other than we know that he committed adultery. He committed murder. He betrayed a loyal friend. He did some bad things, some things that today would land him in prison in our country. And yet, God forgave him and called him a friend. Why? Well, Psalm 51 is actually his song, his psalm, his prayer of repentance when Nathan came to him and told him the story about the rich dude who took his neighbor's sheep. Even though he had plenty of his own, and the sheep that his neighbor loved and adored, and took it and slaughtered it to serve to his friend. And David said, oh, this man should die. He needs to repent of this, and he should die. And Nathan says, it's you. So this Psalm 51 is his prayer of repentance, his prayer of crying out to God that I've done wrong. And so we have 3 points, actually 4 points here from the verses that we've taken. The first one is, so how do I come to this New Year's repentance? What do I do tomorrow? One, we repent. We repent. We cry out to God, create in me a clean heart, O God. Don't take your spirit from me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Here's the thing. Is sin breaks our relationship with God. When I sin, my relationship with God becomes sullied. Sometimes when I've sinned and I don't repent, I think and I believe that he turns his face from me because he don't want to look on my sin. When I sin and I don't repent, I grieve the Holy Spirit of God. I put the Lord Jesus to shame because he has changed my life. He has forgiven me, and I should repent and recognize when I've done wrong. So we should turn from our sin. We need to renew that relationship with God, and that renewal is a daily process. It's just not a process for 10 days or one certain day of the year. And frankly, we kind of do that in Christianity around Easter time is when the time that a lot of us, for some it's Advent season before Christmas, but for the most part we would think of our high holy days as being around Easter and Passover time and when we're thinking about what Christ did for us. But even in those times, we really aren't thinking about setting down every day and spending time with God and repenting of our sin and asking him to cleanse us and showing us how we can better serve him as our Lord and Savior. But even at that, and really, I was reading up on Yom Kippur. This is probably the most attended day for Jews in their synagogue or temple, so much so that sometimes they have to rent extra buildings because people are coming. And then it's kind of the same thing with us. When do most people who really aren't churchy come to church? Christmas and Easter, but mainly Easter. You can see Easter as being your high attendance day. What does God want from us? He wants a daily renewal. I think this day of atonement, of Yom Kippur, where our sins are atoned for, is to remind us that we should do this every day. And at least in the Jewish holidays, there are a lot of holidays in the autumn. Right after this comes the Feast of Tabernacles. And so they've got a lot of remembrances of what God did for them. We don't have so many of those, at least as Protestants. Our Catholic brethren and sisters, how do you say that? I don't know. They have a lot more little holiday in between that we don't observe. But I think we do a disservice to ourselves by not observing at least these high holy days, because they will remind us continually. They're coming up. They're coming up. And actually, in August, they start blowing a ram's horn, the shofar, to remind people, these days are coming up. These days are coming up. We don't have that. But if we were doing renewal with God every day, maybe we wouldn't need it. Because we, every day, are spending time in repentance. Every day, asking God to create in me, O Lord, a clean heart. Renew this steadfast spirit within me. Don't cast me away from your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was something that was given and taken away. It was given for special power. He was given for special anointing, but you could lose. We don't lose the Holy Spirit today, but we can be filled with the Spirit or we cannot be filled with the Spirit. Paul says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. That contrast there, what's controlling you? But when we have sin in our life, we're not being controlled by the Holy Spirit. So one, we need to repent. Repent of our sin. And then two, we need restoration. We need to ask God to restore us. When we sin, it steals our joy. When I've sinned, I'm not very joyful. When I was angry for so long, there wasn't a lot of joy in my life. You can ask my wife. But it's not just my joy. There wasn't a lot of joy in my family. My sin affects other people. My sin causes hurt. My sin causes not only me anger, but anger in others. It causes me bitterness, but bitterness in others. Sin makes us weak. It deadens our desire for God. It deadens my desire to actually ask God to forgive me of my sin. It hardens our hearts. To the point that James tells us, for someone to know to do right and not to do it, that's sin. And that's what happens when we have unconfessed sin in our lives. We know the right thing to do, we just don't do it. Because our hearts are hard. So David cried out to God, restore a right spirit within me. I mean, he confessed his sin earlier in the chapter, the Psalm 51. He's confessing his sin. He's asking God to cleanse him, to purify him. Create in me a clean heart. Renew this spirit within me. Don't cast me away, Lord. I want to be in your presence. And that's what sin breaks, that relationship. And he's asking God, restore the relationship. I want to spend time with you. I want to be in your presence. So we repent of our sin. And when we do that, and we ask God to cleanse us, it restores the relationship with him. And in that restoration, there comes a renewal. We haven't had one for a long time, a revival. And a while back, I was thinking about revivals. And I thought, what are we trying to revive when we have a revival? You know, there's some things I would rather not revive. you know, but we have revivals to renew ourselves, to renew that spirit, to revive the old-time fire, the spirit within us. When I'm thinking of revival now, I'm thinking more of a reformation. Lord, I'd really like for you to reform me so that I'm more in the image of Christ. That's what I want. That's what, for me, this day is going to be a time of not just repentance, but asking God to make me more like Jesus. Asking God to reform me. And that comes through renewing. Repentance leads to the restoration of our relationship with God. Not only that, to the renewal of our relationship with each other. I know I come back to this frequently, but I was gone for a long time. And I missed the relationships that I had with my friends and my brothers and my sisters here in the church. But when there's sin in one's life and that relationship is broken from one side or the other, it's difficult to renew that. But when God convicted me and I repented and I tried to restore my relationship with God and my relationship with the church, there's become a renewal of those relationships. People have come and said, glad you're back. The pastor has obviously put trust in me again to be able to fill the pulpit for him. There's a renewal. We have this renewal with one another. And some of you I've come to individually and asked for forgiveness because of my anger. And then some of you didn't even know. And again, because the relationship was broken. What's going on with Jerry? I don't know. Don't know, because Jerry wasn't here to tell you or ask for help or to pray. So here's this renewal of relationships. One, how do we do this? We need to help each other. James chapter 5. Somebody look this up for me. James 5, 13 through 18. Yes, please.
Among you suffering, let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven.
How often do we confess our sins one to another? We pray for each other. Been praying for you, sister, every day. And others. But how often do we do that as a body? We pull together, lay our hands on somebody, pray for them. See, that's renewing a relationship. It's building a relationship. When a brother sinned or a sister has sinned, the next point is we need to discipline our own. Pastor Greg has been preaching on that for a couple of weeks. But we do that in love. My scripture for this one was 1 Corinthians 5, and he's preached through 1 Corinthians 5 about the one that was in sexual immorality. But when they come back and we repent and we ask forgiveness, what do we as a church do? Do we accept them back? That's what we're supposed to do. Do we love on them? That's what we're supposed to do. Do we in the hand of fellowship, we meet with them again? Do we eat with them again? Do we make the time that we initiate? It's a rhetorical question because I think we know the answer. What we should do and what we do. But how are we to renew our relationship with God when we can't even renew a relationship with one another? And for us, individually, when we have repented and we've asked God to restore our relationship with Him, and this renewal begins in our own lives, and there needs to be a difference in the way that we live. Even from before, you know, if we weren't living that bad of a life, we know, one, that doesn't matter how much good we do, that doesn't save us, that we're saved by grace, God's grace. It was Jesus' blood, His death, His burial, His resurrection that justifies us before God. His atonement does that. But in our lives, I read Ephesians yesterday. I think I read through it twice and then was halfway through on a third time just trying to let it sink in. Where did it go? He created us. He saved us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But that thought there ends with that we were saved to do what? Good works. That's one of the things that He saved us for, so that we could be His hands and feet here. He saved us for good works. And so when we have a renewal coming in our life because we've repented and we've asked for restoration, there's got to be a difference in the way that we live. We can't live like the world. We can't live the way that we lived before. We can't look like the way we looked before. We can't look, and that is in appearance, but in the things that we do and the things that we say. And those changes are difficult, but through that renewal process, Jesus gives us the power to do that. Jesus can change us. If we want to truly win people for Christ, one of the first things that I learned when I learned how to lead someone to Christ, it was called the Basic Counseling Course back in the old days at Youth for Christ. And one of the first things they taught us is that a soul winner must live a clean life. Because if my life is no different than the person that I'm trying to lead to Christ, trying to tell about Jesus, they're going to go, why do I need Him? He hasn't done anything for you, has He? So our renewal, we need to help one another by renewing those relationships. We must discipline our own. And when we do that, that is renewing a relationship. And then we must be different. Our life has to be different. Through that renewal, we should be changing in every day, becoming more and more and more like Jesus. That is what God, Paul called, predestined us to do when He saved us. That's the plan. So we should fulfill that. So we've got repent, restore, renew. The last point I have here is release. And it comes from verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart, O God, Thou will not despise. If you know me, I'm stubborn. Am I stubborn? And it's hard for me to release control of my will. I get something stuck in my head, and it's there. And I fight with it. And sometimes it takes a while for me to realize that God is trying to break my spirit so that His spirit can have control. So what we need to release is our stubborn control of our own spirit, of our own wills and give that over to God. When I'm praying, create in me a clean heart, O God, I need to be thinking about letting my spirit go, letting my control of me go, and let the Holy Spirit break my heart. Excuse me, let the Holy Spirit bring me to contrition, a contrite heart. O God, thou will not despise. So that true repentance, true restoration, and true renewal can take place. Release my will. God doesn't want burnt offerings and sacrifices from me. See, the good works come. He wants those, but that's not what makes me right with Him. Unfortunately, we think that. And in fact, that's what some Jewish people are doing during their 10 days of awe. I mean, they're lots of charity. And they're doing acts of good works because they still haven't understood that those things don't save you. Their own scripture says, sacrifices and burnt offerings, I don't want them. This is what I want. A broken and contrite heart. That's the scripture says, and Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him as righteousness. So I believe God that He wants from me a broken and a contrite heart. And for me to do that, I have to let go of me. So for me, this is what Yom Kippur this year is going to be. Let go of me. It's the first time I've ever observed Yom Kippur. I've thought about it in the past, but this year it's really been on my mind. So here's my challenge to you. I know all of you. So my challenge is this. If you can, even for a short time, tonight at sunset through tomorrow at sunset, spend some time with God in repentance. Ask Him for restoration. Restore my relationship with You. Ask Him for renewal. Lord, renew my relationship with You, but not just with You, but with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's when I'm praying that He starts bringing things into my mind. Jerry, you need to go talk to this person. Jerry, you need to do this. Jerry, you need to do this. You need to renew that relationship. I mean, and that can be a really close time between you and God, because when He starts talking, that's when the heart breaks and the heart gets contrite and we're able to confess. And He'll bring things to mind. He's brought things to mind that I know that I probably asked forgiveness for before, but I ask again. Repentance. And if there's something on your heart this morning, when we're singing our invitation hymn, just come forward and pray at the altar and give it to God. That's why I really, one of my favorite times during our service is the time of confession, where we confess, where we ask God to forgive us, and we make our hearts and our minds ready for God's message to us so that He can speak to us through His Word. So today, go read Psalm 51. Read the whole thing, because that is David's prayer of repentance for his sin against Uriah, his sin with Bathsheba, his sin against his entire nation. And this is his prayer of repentance. And we know what God did in his life. We also know what the sin did to his life. There were very rough and difficult times. But the Bible still calls him friend of God. And that's what I want to be. That's what He wants to be with you. a friend of God. So this morning as we sing our invitation hymn, think about how you'll spend time with God for the next 24 hours. If you can fast, fast. If you can't, that's okay. We're not obliged. But spend some time in repentance, restoration, renewal, and release. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to bring a message from your word. I thank you for your people Israel and for the pictures of Christ that you've given us throughout their history. And I thank you for a day like Yom Kippur, a day of atonement, where we now know its true fulfillment in Christ and how he atoned for our sin. And I pray, Lord, that we'll take this time to spend with you to, one, thank you for that atonement, but to repent of things that we know we've done that have made you sad, that have grieved your spirit, that have brought dishonor upon your name, our families, or on ourselves. And Lord, that you'll restore us to a right relationship with you, that you'll fill us again with your Holy Spirit, and that you'll help us to renew our relationships daily with you and with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And help us, Lord, to let go of our own will and let go of our own control over spirit and give your spirit control so that we're walking with you and not with the world. I thank you, Lord, for Jesus, for the sacrifice that you made on Calvary, for the blood that you sprinkled on the mercy seat, that we could be forgiven of our sin. Thank you for paying my price. We ask these things in your name and for your glory. Amen.